Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. As recently as yesterday, I was suggesting the war in Ukraine had simmered down, that Russia was firmly in control. They have an advantage in artillery of 10 to 1. Ukraine has run out of munitions. They've been firing them so fiercely, so rapidly, the U.S. and the West cannot even resupply. Even Biden let it slip that the reason for sending the cluster bombs, which is in violation of an international treaty or convention against their use, that the United States has not, and Israel, by the way, have not signed, which is outrageous all by itself. They're notorious for their after effects because civilians, especially children, pick up these little bomblets thinking there's some kind of toy, and they explode and blow off their limbs if they don't kill them outright. This is one of the types of weapon Princess Di was opposing, along with landmines. And of course, she was so effective, she had to be taken out, notwithstanding the additional complication that she was becoming engaged to a Muslim, and the royal family didn't like the idea. Best I can determine from my research, Prince Philip directed that she be taken out, but she actually survived the automobile wreck in the Paris Tunnel, relatively unscathed, but was put in an ambulance, sedated, and then taken about 100 yards away from the hospital, where she was beaten brutally with all kinds of internal injuries that were unsustainable before she was delivered to the hospital. NATO, I believe, wanting to make itself appear to still have contemporary relevance, is drastically overhauling its stance in relation to Russia, with consequences heretofore untold. But where, as I see it, all the elements are coming together for precipitating the nuclear war I thought we had avoided. Russia, as most are aware, is in firm control of Crimea, the Donbass, four other regions. I believe the Russian plan has been to settle for that, that it's enough. leaving Kiev and the rest of the geographical region as a dysfunctional government. Clearly, the very idea of bringing Ukraine into NATO at this point in time is a completely lunatic, because Article 5 says an attack on one is an attack on all. The idea of bringing in a country already under attack means NATO would be at war with Russia instantaneously. They make a number of moves to accommodate NATO's accession, including foregoing a series of steps that other nations have to satisfy to become candidates for membership. But Biden has asserted this is not the right time. I mean, you know, I should really say Biden's handlers, this guy is just a puppet. He doesn't know the meaning of the words he reads, much less where he is, who he is, what's going on. I've documented this again and again. We know this is an actor wearing a mask. But remarkably, he appears to have the same degree of cognitive incompetence as Biden, where he's still alive, where he appears to have died in 2017, even confirmed by a granddaughter. He said her grandpa died, but the family was so used to being in politics, they wanted to maintain, so they've had several parties impersonating him. But nevertheless, NATO is taking actions not to accede. I thought we really were in a situation where the prospect of nuclear war was dramatically reduced. I do not feel that way today. Let me share with you some of the reports. Colossal increase in NATO forces for conflict with Russia. 400,000 soldiers on standby. Moscow. It's a Barbarossa plan. That was, of course, a massive attack on Russia orchestrated by Adolf Hitler. The reasons why the comparison is a bit far-fetched. Barbarossa involved Hitler putting together 3 million troops. I doubt NATO can even scrape together 400,000. Listen to this. For the first time since World War II, NATO is adopting new defense plans to be implemented in the event of war with Russia. The new defense plans covers 5 to 6 areas, and to be implemented, get this, it will be necessary to revise all existing NATO structures. Wow. Reports indicate the rapid reaction force will now amount to 400,000 troops. You might well ask, where in the world are they going to come from? The first plan covers the High North and the Atlantic, led by Joint Forces Command in Norfolk. The Central Regional Plan, led by the Brunson administration in the Netherlands, will cover the Baltic and the Alps. A third defense plan will cover the southeast of the military alliance, including the Mediterranean and the Black Sea, commanded from Naples, Italy. NATO will adopt 3 regional defense plans at its summit currently taking place. The Alliance Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg told the news conference. At the summit, we will take further important steps to strengthen our deterrence and defense with 3 new regional defense plans to address the 2 main threats to our alliance, Russia and terrorism. According to Stoltenberg, there will be a plan for the North, the Atlantic, and the European Arctic. One for the center, covering the Baltic region and Central Europe, and a southern plan for the Mediterranean and the Black Sea. To execute these plans, NATO is placing 300,000 troops on maximum alert, including significant air and naval combat power. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization has agreed on a plan to respond to a possible attack by Russia, as reported by Reuters. They emphasize this has happened for the first time since the end of the Cold War. Russian media report, the NATO military bloc is absolutely certain that Moscow will attack. But of course, that's never been in the cards. Meanwhile, Russia has repeatedly emphasized it was actions by the alliance that led to the launch of the special military operation in Ukraine and could lead to even more tragic consequences. Moscow has repeatedly emphasized it's not going to attack anyone, but is simply forced to react to the actions of the United States and its allies in the military bloc. NATO's infrastructure has almost reached Russia's borders, and the alliance's leadership is increasing forces in the territories bordering the Russian Federation. Not a good idea. In this respect, the coordination of the so-called response plan to a possible attack by Russia is more reminiscent of Hitler's Barbarossa plan. NATO does not stop proclaiming the need to impose a military defeat on the Russian Federation. And in some countries, members of the bloc are already talking openly about the need to declare war on Russia. Let me just say what a lunatic idea that is. Russia and Ukraine is predominating in part because it has an advantage in artillery on the order of 10 to 1, and is leading to casualties on that order as well, as I have mentioned before. In times of war, most deaths are not brought about by the infantry or by tanks, but by artillery. And the Ukrainians have all but expended the mass stocks of especially 155-millimeter howitzer munitions supplied by the West. Now, Mike Adams, among others, 6 months ago was projecting that Ukraine had already lost because it would take 1 to 2 years for the West to beef up its production of munitions necessary to continue the war. We have reached that point. And the cluster bombs are supposed to be a temporary measure to fill in the gap. Inexcusable. The fact is, Russia is firmly in control. The Ukrainian much-touted counteroffensive has withered, dwindles, ended with a whimper, gone nowhere. So how can NATO continue to appear, this is a matter of perception, appear to be relevant? We're seeing here the outline of their response. For the first time since the Cold War, NATO countries have agreed on defense plans in the event of a Russian attack, British media report. Three European diplomats who've not been named said NATO countries had managed to agree on a defense plan drawn up in the event of a Russian attack. But mind you, Russia has no plan to attack. It is emphasized this was done for the first time since the end of the Cold War. Previously, no such plans had been drafted, since the alliance had no rival at the level of Russia, and it was not necessary for the wars in Afghanistan or Iraq. NATO allies reached an agreement on Monday how the alliance could respond to a Russian attack. This is the first time NATO has prepared such plans since the end of the Cold War. Based on the Madrid summit in 2022, where members agreed to increase their presence on the eastern flank, the new force model would put 300,000 NATO troops across the alliance territory with three alerts of maximum readiness that could be deployed in 3, 10, and 30 days. Currently, these plans include approximately 40,000 troops under the command of NATO's Supreme Allied Commander Europe, plus 100 aircraft and 27 ships in the Baltic and Mediterranean. According to Shapes, Deputy Chief of Staff for Operation, Major General Matthew Van Wagenen. The three new plans will cover all five domains of air, land, sea, space, and cyberspace. Once agreed, the force structure will be decided, including the number of troops and equipment to be placed on high alert in the command and control structure. In other words, it's just paper. These are just plans. They're far removed from reality. It's not at all obvious they could even be successfully implemented. Meanwhile, Bulgaria declares the armed conflict will go beyond the borders of Ukraine. The ongoing hostilities in Ukraine could spread outside the country. This is a report of the State National Security Agency of Bulgaria. Experts of the Bulgarian department do not rule out the use of weapons of mass destruction in this case, and of course they're talking about nukes. State National Security, GANB, experts believe the Black Sea Caucasus region will become very problematic in terms of security in the future. Earlier, Bulgarian Prime Minister Nikolai Denkov announced his country would not supply military equipment to Kiev, as this would weaken his country's own defense capabilities. As the Bulgarian president, Roman Radev, has also pointed out. Meanwhile, according to the British paper The Telegraph, Germany is terrified that Putin will test NATO Article 5. A source told British newspaper The Telegraph that the alliance is aware of Berlin's plans to use this week's NATO summit to urge other states to focus on security guarantees rather than membership proposals. A fearful Berlin is keeping a low profile at the prospect of an immediate membership bid. It needs a process and a lot of time to develop guarantees that will effectively prevent the integration of Kiev. As British journalists write, ironically, Germany does not want Russian President Vladimir Putin to potentially test the effect of Article 5 of the NATO treaty. Germany and the U.S. have privately warned that drastic moves could cause the current conflict to escalate into an active war between NATO and Russia, which, by the way, would be catastrophic because Russia, as I never tire of emphasizing, is by far the strongest nuclear power in the world. The U.S., NATO can't touch it. It has the best ICBMs, the Satan II, for example. It has 15 independently targetable warheads. A single Satan II could take out all of France by itself. They have the best anti-missile missiles, the best anti-ship missiles, the best anti-submarine torpedoes. All of these are virtually unstoppable. The U.S. has no way to counter them. And Russia has made it very clear that the introduction, for example, of F-16s, for there are two versions, but for the Russians have explained they cannot identify the difference, one of which is capable of carrying nuclear weapons, the other not, would be viewed as an act of nuclear aggression. But get this. The foundations for war in the Baltic are also laid. NATO cancels the founding law with Russia. Poland moves with fast-track procedures in the Suwalki corridor. The last hope for peace is extinguished, as a subtitle here. NATO is laying the foundation for a total war with Russia. The first bomb came from Lithuania, which, acting as a heir of the developments, requested annulment of the founding NATO-Russia treaty, which will allow the creation of permanent military bases in the Baltic countries, Poland, Bulgaria, and Finland. Immediately after it became known that Poland is building two high-speed railways for the transport of NATO troops to Suwalki Corridor with fast-track procedures. In 1997, a founding act was signed between NATO and Russia, through which Moscow accepted the enlargement, but in exchange that NATO would not station permanent forces in Eastern Europe. NATO will break even the last Russian red line, which is a cause of war for Moscow. It is noted this development is expected after the adoption of the new defense plans I've just sketched by NATO. Both developments point in the direction of future expansion of the war, mainly toward the Baltic and Kaliningrad. Lithuania, cancel the NATO-Russia founding law. Lithuanian President Gitanas Nausėda has called on NATO countries to establish permanent military bases on Russia's border and cancel the NATO-Russia founding law. According to Nausėda, the alliance should abandon its own restrictions on establishing permanent defense bases near the border as a founding treaty between Russia and NATO is dead. We must finally declare that the NATO-Russia Founding Act is dead, he said in an interview with the Times. With Russia routinely deploying nuclear weapons in Belarus, we must finally recognize that the Russia-NATO Founding Act is dead. But it still hinders the action of many NATO member countries, keeps us in a gray zone of strategic ambiguity, said the Lithuanian president. Strong reactions from Russia. Russian President Dmitry Peskov, press secretary, commented on the Lithuanian leader's statements, stressing the bloc has already begun strengthening NATO's military infrastructure next to the Russian border. That was one of the reasons that brought us to the current situation. It seems that the Europeans do not understand this mistake. During the July 11th summit, Stoltenberg announced approval of plans to deploy 300,000 troops on the alliance eastern flank. Moscow believes these documents will determine the conflict course of the alliance with Russia for years to come, said Russia's ambassador to Belgium, Alexander Tikhovnin, adding, these steps undermine security in Europe, in the Atlantic, and increase risk of the current situation. This is a confirmation of the conflict course, he explained. Tikhovnin stressed, such decisions escalate the confrontation and increase the risk of direct conflict between Russia and members of the bloc, with all the ensuing consequences. For his part, the Russian ambassador in Washington said that the situation is developing in the direction of the worst outcome, nuclear war, in relation to Russia-NATO confrontation. As first vice chairman of the Russian Duma's International Affairs Committee, Alexei Cheb explained, there are politicians who continue to worsen the situation, escalate the confrontation, create more difficult conditions, and break the agreements that have been reached. All this leads to problems. According to Alexander Kamkin, a senior researcher of comparative political studies at the Institute of World Economy and International Relations of the Russian Academy of Sciences, the Lithuanian leader is actually pushing for an escalation of the confrontation between Russia and NATO. Lithuania, like Poland, which has proposed the deployment of U.S. nuclear weapons on its soil, is pursuing a consistent policy of escalation and engaging its allies in a direct conflict with Moscow. As part of such initiative, NATO could decide to establish permanent military bases mainly in the Baltic, Poland, and Bulgaria. In addition, the bloc can station troops in Finland, because with the inclusion of Finland in NATO, the common border between NATO and Russia has increased significantly. In Kamin's view, it cannot be ruled out that the Lithuanian president's claims are some kind of test of how Russia would react to a possible repeal of the NATO-Russia founding law. Meanwhile, as mentioned, Poland is building express routes to transport forces to Suwalki Corridor. Warsaw plans to build two new high-speed highways that will allow the rapid deployment of NATO troops in the northern part of the border with Belarus, the area of the so-called Suwalki Corridor. According to Polish generals, this location at the junction of regions of Kaliningrad, Lithuania, and Belarus is of strategic importance, as if captured by the Russian armed forces, the Baltic states will be cut off from the rest of Europe. Meanwhile, documents that appear to be classified U.S.-NATO war plans were leaked or stolen and can now be found on Twitter and Telegram. Documents that appear to be classified plan detailing Ukraine's combat readiness and preparation for an upcoming offensive were leaked or stolen and appeared this week on social media. The New York Times reported Thursday, with the outlet describing them as secret American and NATO plans. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
These are documents that are now found on Twitter and Telegram. So far as I can tell, almost certainly pertain to the planned Ukrainian counteroffensive, which has already been effortlessly dispatched by Russia. One document appears to detail the expenditure rates of HIMARS artillery systems provided by the U.S., information that's been a closely guarded secret. Another describes the state of a dozen Ukrainian combat brigades, including their equipment and dates why they might be ready to take on Russian forces. The documents are currently circulating on Twitter and Telegram. We are aware of the reports of social media posts, and the department is reviewing the matter, a Pentagon spokesperson told the Times. Now listen, if you're caught with your pants down, with these docs out, what are you going to say about it? Here's the answer. Experts have cautioned that the documents, while seemingly authentic, and in my opinion, this response confirms their authenticity, may have been altered for propaganda purposes. What's the point of exposing docs if you're going to change them? I mean, one slide, purportedly from a presentation, provides an estimate for Russian soldiers killed in Ukraine, as many as 17,500, it states, well below the figure Western governments have claimed publicly. And I guarantee you, this 17.5 is a whole lot closer to accurate than what the West has claimed. The British Ministry of Defense, for example, said in February between 40,000 and 60,000 had likely been killed since Putin ordered the full-scale invasion of Ukraine last year. They've obviously been doctored. Michael Weiss, a Russian expert and senior correspondent, Yahoo News, posted on social media, still bad that they were leaked or stolen. Still bad that they were leaked or stolen. Now, here's a very significant report about these developments from Larry Johnson, former CIA, a whistleblower, a good guy, to wit. Is Biden preparing to take the U.S. to war against Russia? This is disturbing and alarming. Biden issued an order activating up to 3,000 ready reserve and select reserve military personnel and sending them to Europe for potential combat with Russia. This is not a hoax. It is on the White House website. Here it is. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, including Section 121 and 12304 of Title 10 United States Code, I hereby determine that it is necessary to augment the active armed forces of the United States for the effective conduct of Operation Atlantic Resolve, which is the effort to support Ukraine in relation to Russia, in and around the United States European Command's area of responsibility. In furtherance of this operation, under the stated authority, I hereby authorize the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Homeland Security, with respect to the Coast Guard when it's not operating as a service in the Navy, under their respective jurisdictions, to order to active duty any units and any individual members not assigned to a unit, organized to serve as a unit of the selected reserve, or any member in the individual ready reserve mobilization category, and designated as essential under regulations prescribed by the Secretary concerned, not to exceed 3,000 total members at any one time. I repeat, not to exceed 3,000 total members at any one time. Well, how many times could we be talking about? 10 times, that'd be 30,000, 100 times, 300,000, of whom not more than 450 may be members of the individual ready reserve as they deem necessary, and to terminate the service of those units and members ordered to active duty. Operation now, Larry Johnson continues, Atlantic Resolve is the name for the U.S. military response to Russia's special military operation. While the number of troops being activated and deployed is not large, and here he may have missed at any one time, because obviously 3,000 times multiple could be a very substantial number. Is Biden making a direct threat to Russia that is likely to elicit a very unpleasant response from Putin? In terms of bolstering U.S. military capabilities, and again, I think he's talking about 3,000, this is a nothing burger. But it is a symbolism in the thinking behind the decision that's frightening. But this is not all. According to one of my retired CIA buddies, at least two B-52s are on the ground at an Air Force base in Alaska. This is highly unusual, according to another old friend who flew B-52s. Moving these planes forward to Alaska is stupid saber-rattling. This is not going to assuage Russian concerns about Western intentions. It's going to move the Russians to hair trigger status. And do not forget about U.S. plans to send nuclear-capable F-16 to Ukraine. Here is a report about it. Kiev will likely get F-16 fighter jets from Washington's allies in Europe, who may have some to spare. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said on Wednesday, while many NATO countries have offered to train Ukrainian pilots, so far, none have pledged to send actual aircraft. On the F-16 fighter jets, President Biden took the decision some weeks ago, working in close consultation with allies, to begin the training of Ukrainian pilots on those jets. Sullivan told Good Morning America host George Stephanopoulos from Vilnius, Lithuania, where he's attending the NATO summit. That training will take some time, and then there'll be the transfer of F-16, likely from European countries that have excess F-16 supplies, he added. Meanwhile, end of time for everyone. Putin's ultimatum to NATO. He upgraded the F-16 mission in Ukraine to a nuclear threat from the West. The U.S. will become 100% smoke if. Putin raised a gauntlet and Lavrov sent an ultimatum to NATO that any F-16 mission to Ukraine would now be considered a nuclear threat. Russia has, for the first time, upgraded the threat, meaning that if F-16s are delivered to Ukraine, Moscow's nuclear deterrence doctrine will automatically be activated. This will happen because, as War News 247 reported months ago, Russia cannot know which F-16 will be dual purpose, that is, able to carry B-61 nuclear bombs. Therefore, there are no more margins. Russia cannot risk a surprise nuclear attack. Lavrov, Ukraine's F-16s are a nuclear threat. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has stressed that the West poses a nuclear threat to his country with plans to deliver U.S.-made F-16 fighter jets to Ukraine's armed forces. If Ukraine has U.S.-made F-16 fighter jets at its disposal, this will create new risks for Russia, including in the field of nuclear security. The U.S. and its NATO satellites create a risk of direct military conflict with Russia, and this could have disastrous consequences, Lavrov said during an interview with a Russian news website, Lenta. Russia cannot ignore that the F-16s, with which various countries have announced they intend to supply the Ukrainian Air Force, are capable of carrying nuclear weapons. The mere fact that such systems will appear in the hands of the Ukrainian armed forces will be considered a nuclear threat from the West. Sergei Lavrov stressed that Russia has already informed the United States, France, and the United Kingdom that the possibility of F-16 fighter jets carrying nuclear weapons cannot be ignored. The armed forces of the Russian Federation, according to Lavrov, will not be able to tell whether each aircraft is equipped to deliver nukes or not. Let me just say, this is absolutely stunning as a development. Absolutely stunning. And what it means is that the West is continuing to go all out on behalf of the most corrupt nation in Europe, but which is, it appears, vital to the New World Order. Indeed, no less an authority than Jacob Rothschild has declared that Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the New World Order, and that the New World Order cannot move forward without Ukraine. Now, there's a lot of talk here about a proxy war, about Ukraine being used as a proxy for the West and the U.S. to fight a war with Russia. I want to suggest the West and the U.S. are proxies for another state with aspirations that seize control of all of Ukraine, to wit, Israel. As I mentioned before, if you look at the action of the Biden administration in relation to the United States, sabotaging law enforcement, electing woke DAs, decriminalizing shoplifting, opening the borders, bringing millions, I estimate 100 million minimally across the border, and undermining public education with all this tranny nonsense, all this instruction in sex, anal sex, masturbation for little kids. If you wanted to destroy the United States, these are items high on your agenda. And if you think of George Soros as the acting president of the United States, and remember it was his son who announced that Kamala Harris would be the vice presidential running mate with Joe Biden. What in God's name did George Soros' son have to do with this? Other than reflect that the Democrat Party appears to have become the party of George Soros, just as much as the Republican Party have become the party of Donald Trump. Bear in mind, our media are completely dominated by Zionist elements. How many times have I observed? I have a panel of 100 executives at CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I have a panel of 100 executives at NBC, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I have another panel of 100 executives at the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. And as Cynthia McKinney revealed on Iranian television back in 2011, and she told me personally, she thought everyone knew about the pledge for new members of Congress or as a sign of pledge to put the interests of Israel even ahead of those of the United States. And where a dear friend of mine, Gary King, 5-6 years ago asked me, did I know how many members of the then current Congress had refused to sign the pledge? And when I admitted I did not, he raised one finger of one hand. Only one member of Congress had refused to sign the pledge. That means the Congress of the United States is Israeli-occupied territory, which may explain why, whereas who owns or controls Ukraine is of no national security significance to the United States. The fake President Biden has declared, we're there for as long as it takes. If you envision the United States as a tool of Israel, if you understand that the population of Israel today is not descended from the tribe of Judah, but that these are Khazarians descended from a region that is modern-day Ukraine. If you understand that Israel wants Ukraine to be the new Israel, if you understand that Israel wants all of Ukraine, including the Donbass, including the Crimea, and they're absolutely zealous in their dedication, then you will begin to appreciate the full dimensions of what's taking place here. This is in no way, shape, or form a localized conflict between Ukraine and Russia. And indeed, the West compromised itself, sold out its own integrity by entering into the Minsk Accord with Russia that was supposed to bring about a resolution absent warfare, including respect for the autonomy of the Donetsk and the Luhansk regions of the Donbass, but where even Angela Merkel subsequently admitted in public that they were done in bad faith by the West, that they merely wanted more time to beef up Ukraine with all kinds of weaponry so that Ukraine turned out to be a far more formidable military force when Putin undertook a special military operation, which, by the way, in terms of its timing, was launched as a preemptory attack because Putin had learned that Kiev was about to launch an all-out assault on the Donbass that would lead to a mass slaughter of the ethnic Russians and Russian sympathetic population of that region. it was to preempt a massacre that Putin acted as he did on the 24th of February. He had, of course, other perfectly bona fide reasons, to wit, that Ukraine was aspiring to become a member of NATO. How could Russia tolerate NATO nations and weapon batteries on its border? It could not. Plus, they'd learned of 20 or 30 of these biolabs that were being funded by the United States and even the National Institutes of Health to produce biological weapons, some of which are being designed against ethnic Russians specifically based on DNA studies. In other words, when you step back and look at the big picture, all of the right, all of the moral authority, all of the political justification, all of, in my opinion, the weight of international law sides with Vladimir Putin and Russia. The West is a scurrilous, complicit component being manipulated by Israel for its own fanatical objectives. And bear in mind, Israel has a history of exploiting the United States for its own political and military benefit. 9/11 was an inside job brought to its compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Ehud Olmert and Bibi Netanyahu appear to have designed the plan in the late 1980s to find a way to draw American forces into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region, and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran, which worked highly successfully until in Syria, Russia and Iran intervened to stop it cold. Let me add, even the army ISIS, this army of terrorists, was actually concocted by the United States, by John Brennan, then CIA director, Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State, and Barack Obama, then President of the United States, in 2012. To bring additional pressure onto the democratically elected administration of Bashar al-Assad, the very popular president of Syria, where many of the members of ISIS sport army tattoos. I've reported on this many, many times. But where Mike Flynn was the director of the National Intelligence Agency, spoke out in opposition. He regarded this as a terrible idea, such that John Brennan suggested to Barack Obama that Flynn, therefore, ought to be fired. And Barack Obama obligingly fired Michael Flynn. So that when Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton, even though the election had been massively rigged for the presidency, and was making Michael Flynn his national security advisor, by the way, an excellent choice, they had to depose Flynn because he would have given Trump too much good advice. He would have cut through the smoke and mirrors. He knows where the bodies are buried. So it's indispensable to hobble Trump to cash in Flynn. It was all atrocious. And by the way, as I discussed with Richard Charnin, who's an expert on election theft and vote fraud, if you want to steal an election, you have to go to where the votes are, that the votes are in the big cities. So they had a complete lock on the big cities going for Hillary. I even dug into the polling data and found it was all manipulated, phony polls to suggest Hillary was going to win the election so it would correspond to the outcome when they stole it. That's what happened again in 2020. That's what happened in 2022. They gave us phony data when the Republicans are going to win overwhelmingly in 2020 and again overwhelmingly in 2022. Raven James Carvel tacitly admitted they'd stolen 57 seats in the House of Representatives, attributing it to Donald Trump, which is simply absurd, because the reason Republicans have been winning is because of Donald Trump, not in spite of him. But they need a scapegoat, which is why they're going on endlessly and attacking Trump in every possible way, including the weaponization of the DOJ and of the FBI. But it's increasingly obvious that January 6th was an FBI op, that the FBI had informants and agitators scattered throughout, including prominently Ray Epps from everything I put together. So that Ray Epps, as so often happens here, like Dominion suing Fox, when there's overwhelming evidence that Dominion voting machines were used to steal the election, they sue Fox and Fox folds. Now Ray Epps is bringing his own lawsuit as though he had been tarnished. This is all outrageous and disgusting. The American people have to see through it clearly to understand what the hell is going on. But the reason Trump prevailed in 2020 was an outpouring of support from rural America across the country. They had not rigged, they could not rig the rural vote. And that put Trump in office in 2016, which was very good for America.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Here's a story that'll enhance your enthusiasm for the president of Ukraine, this clown who plays the piano with his penis. Foundation of Battle and Justice found exclusive evidence of trafficking disabled Ukrainian children in Spain. 85 children with intellectual and physical disability were forcibly taken from the DPR, that's a Donetsk People's Republic, to Spain by a Spanish military aircraft and placed in a state-run orphanage where they are sexually abused, involved in the drug trade, and were trafficked around the world. Minors with special needs live in inappropriate conditions, and any attempts to return them to their homeland are deliberately suppressed by the Spanish and Ukrainian authorities. How disgusting. In April of 2022, under the pretext of a special military operation, Ukrainian social services approved transfer to Spain of 85 underage students of the Pekashevka Special Boarding School number 40. At the Bakhmut district of the DPR, at the time of the events, a village was under the control of the armed forces of Ukraine. Remember, that battle for Bakhmut was, in my judgment, the decisive fight of the war. Most of the children have intellectual and physical disabilities. On April 1st, 2021, the children, along with her tutors, were taken to the Immaculata School in Salamanca, Spain. The official guardian of children was Alina P., not her real name, a Ukrainian citizen who'd been dealing with disabled children for decades and knew every child of her group brought to Spain. The Copradel organization and Miguel Renera Sanchez Pardo kept their promises and provided the children with everything they needed until 2 months later. Police Commissioner Patricia Rivas, together with the American NGO Angels, sent to the Spanish Social Services a statement demanding the transfer of the minors to a state-run orphanage. According to the opinion of the human rights activists of the Foundation to Battle Injustice, this indicates the interference of the United States in the process of illegal transportation, placement, and trafficking of children. The policewoman complained about the allegedly mistreatment of children and demanded the state deprive Alina of the official guardianship and sent them to a children's center located in another city. On July 1st, 2022, Isabel Fernandez Cambron, director of social services of the Spanish autonomous community Castile and León, signed the decision to transfer children to the Colegio San Viator in Valladolid, allegedly due to the lack of material conditioned and qualified staff in the Salamanca school to care for disabled children. The official guardianship was taken away from Alina, but she was allowed to accompany them. According to her, the reason she was no longer the official guardian was absolutely fake and far-fetched. The official guardianship was given instead to the non-government organization ACCEN. During the transfer to another boarding school, several were sent to the United States and Argentina without official permission from the Ukrainian authorities. Presumably, they were the first victims of child trafficking. Meanwhile, here's a photo promoting all of this. You can also change the life of a Ukrainian teenager who's lost the opportunity to be adopted because he reached the age of majority. Become a foster recipient godparent and give a young person the opportunity for a better life. Bad, 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 bad. Get this too. New EU digital commissioner is threatening to shut down social media platforms in the event of social unrest. Such, for example, might arise if NATO goes to war with Russia. But I tell you, if that happens and nukes are involved, it's going to be a very short war, because Russia has already declared that in the case of a nuclear confrontation, they will go all out. They will launch a full-scale attack. I've already mentioned France can be taken out by a single Satan, too. You can expect 100 to 200 million dead within the first 2 hours, period. And I'm sorry to say, the action NATO is undertaking make this highly probable. Shocking. Thus, why this announcement now? What could they be planning next? Here's Disclosed TV tweeting. New EU digital commissioner is threatening to shut down social media platforms in the event of social unrest. Platforms like Twitter or TikTok could be completely blocked under the Digital Services Act, says the EU digital commissioner. Perhaps the burning of France is coming to another EU nation or even America? Or perhaps, now that we have even more mortality data pouring in, could the irrefutable truth about the death vax be fast-tracked and finally admitted to the world? Here's Edward Dowd tweeting. Doctors and scientists are free to weigh in here. We are not doctors, but it seems we have a crisis in healthcare that the health authorities are not acknowledging, and we wonder why. The signals found here are just ridiculous, and it looks like a cover-up. More. Sample of charts that can be generated from the report. Hematological blood disorders up 522% annual Z-score. Seems bad to me. More. Example of underlying cause from the cardiovascular system. cardiovascular failure up 513% on a monthly basis, with a monthly Z-score of about 17. Seems like a disaster. Can the health authorities explain this? More and more data confirming the staggering effects of the vax. Again, Edward Down. This just baffles us. Autistic spectrum disorders up 255% across all ages on a monthly basis from a trend with a Z-score of 14. More. The above are just a small sample of the data available. Folks, it's bad. And the signals here confirm the anecdotal stories from doctors in their own practices and what you're seeing in your circles. Hope this report is helpful to doctors and health authorities. This kind of grim new normal for large swaths of society are finally cognizant of the fact they have been genetically modified and as such are not just walking spike protein factories, but also ticking time bombs, could certainly set off worldwide social unrest. Or could it be that PSYOP Ukraine invasion is floundering, just as the installed Biden, Macron, and Trudeau regimes are imploding on the eve of more pandemic lockdowns for winter? So many PSYOPs for the one world government to choose from, and yet, as more and more people are getting wise to their sociopathic power grabs, the desperate last resorts of all globally coordinated techno-communist regimes will be to shut down the free flow of information. We've had it here. No reason to expect they would not have it there, and perhaps on an even more massive scale. A forthcoming article on the UK, New Claims for Personal Independence Pension by Body System, will look at the soaring cancer rates and what can be done to reverse it. In the meantime, if your social media goes out along with your internet and power, do not be surprised. You have been warned. Plan accordingly. Do not comply. And, of course, we've had the absurd situation here that the U.S. Secret Service declines to honor a journalist's FOIA request about the White House cocaine documents. We regret to inform you we cannot comply, stated the letter sent to a Bloomberg reporter. Jason Leopold, an investigative reporter for Bloomberg Business, filed a Freedom of Information Act request for information related to the cocaine found in the West Wing of the White House last week. Leopold was thorough in his request. He wanted to see any emails, text messages, photographs, memos, letters, directives, intelligence bulletins, threat assessments, after-action reports, suspicious activity reporting, and open-source intelligence social media monitoring reports related to the discovery of the cocaine. A FOIA request was received by the Secret Service on Monday, July 10th. On Tuesday, Kevin Tyrell, a Freedom of Information Act officer from the Office of Intergovernmental and Legislative Affairs, sent a letter responding to Leopold's request. The letter, on Department of Homeland Security letterhead, said the Secret Service would not honor Leopold's request, explaining the investigation is ongoing. It stated, disclosure could reasonably be expected to interfere with enforcement proceeding and laid out options for appeal. Here's Jason Leopold tweeting, new in response to my FOIA request, Secret Service says it cannot release any records about the cocaine found in the White House because it interfered with enforcement proceedings. He admits this is standard for an ongoing investigation, but says he plans to appeal the decision all the same. He said, tweet, absolutely nothing unusual with that response. I'm still going to appeal, though, because agencies cannot issue a blanket B-7A denial without conducting a document-by-document search and segregating records that would not interfere with enforcement proceedings if any exist. Meanwhile, get this, surprise, surprise. Secret Service ends investigation into cocaine found in White House without identifying a suspect. Congressional Republicans call it an agency failure. Wow. You're telling me the Secret Service, which has cameras all over the White House, to which it has 100% access and control, cannot solve a simple question like this? How insulting. While there is no direct evidence to tie the president's son Hunter to the cocaine, the stonewalling by the White House and the constantly changing reports of the location of the cocaine has fueled speculation in some circles that the drugs belong to him or some other prominent person in the West Wing who could bypass some of the more rigorous security measures. And here we have a tweet. Unsolved mysteries. White House official were tracking down the cocaine when the trail just vanished after leading to guess who? Hunter Biden. No surprise there. Meanwhile, Tucker Carlson returned to television and live interviews with presidential candidates may spark fireworks. Tucker Carlson may spark fireworks Friday, that would be today, as he goes head-to-head with presidential nominees live on stage at the Family Leadership Summit in Des Moines, Iowa. This is something we don't want to miss. Blaze TV's coverage of the Midwest's largest gathering of Christians seeking cultural transformation in the family, church, government, and more, featuring Tucker Carlson interviewing a slate of presidential candidates, begins at 10 a.m. Friday morning Eastern. It's already begun. The former Fox News Channel personality has a history of holding nothing back and has conducted heated interviews with some of this year's summit participants in the past. His individual on-stage interviews with presidential candidates at this year's summit in the run-up to the 2024 election may well prove to be extra spicy. In a preview of what may be in store for viewers at last year's summit, Tucker was adamant about voters holding would-be political leaders' feet to the fire. If you continue to get leaders you vote for, whose campaigns you fund, who can look directly into a camera and say the single most important thing in the world is, in a material sense, totally unrelated to your life and the life of any of the other 350 million people who live here, that's a huge problem, Carlson said during a speech at the 2022 Family Leadership Summit. Bear in mind, what could they say is the single most important thing in the world? The war in Ukraine against Russia? Climate change? We know, by the way, it's a hoax. I mean, it's just fantastic how they use pseudoscientific claims to promote a political agenda by simply taking for granted the claims are authentic and true, when they're actually not only false, but provably false, and merely an illusion, a form of propaganda or misinformation being deliberately promulgated. Prior to leaving Fox, Tucker openly shared pointed opinions on conservative political figures, regularly raising some Republican viewers' hackles. For example, in all the ways that matter, Nikki Haley is a member in good standing of the most protected class of all, upper income, liberal white ladies with fashionable political views. She may be running to be the Republican nominee, but she is fundamentally indistinguishable from the neoliberal donor base of the Democrat Party, Tucker said of former Governor Haley in February. She is among the confirmed participants at this year's summit. Nikki Haley believes in collective racial guilt. She thinks Ukraine's borders are more important than our own. She believes identity politics is our future, Tucker said of the former South Carolina governor. Former Vice President Mike Pence, another summit interviewee, condemned Tucker's coverage of the January 6th riot at the Gridiron Club dinner in March without calling Tucker out by name. Pence rebuked his portrayal of rioters as sightseers or tourists. Tucker, an outspoken critic of surgery and chemical intervention on children with gender dysphoria, was devastatingly blunt in an interview with then-Governor Asa Hutchison 2 years ago. Hutchison had just vetoed a bill that would have prevented physicians from prescribing puberty blockers or surgically castrating children who believe they are transgender. I think of you as a conservative. Here you've come out publicly as pro-choice on the question of chemical castration of children. What changed? We're talking about minors, children here. Why do you think it's important for conservatives to make certain that children can block their puberty? Why is that a conservative value? One issue almost certain to be on the table during the conference today is U.S. involvement in the war between Russia and Ukraine. Tucker is openly opposed to the war. While some of the Republican nominees he'll be interviewing at the summit appear openly hawkish. Whether it's a Russia-Ukraine war, January 6th, transgender surgery for kids, abortion, or other controversial topics, one thing is certain. Tucker will not shy away from pressing this year's slate of Republican candidates to defend their positions. Voters will surely be the wiser for it. Interviews of presidential candidates at the Family Leadership Summit have sparked controversy in the past. In the run-up to the 2016 election, pollster Frank Luntz interviewed then-nominee Trump at the summit, along with several other Republican presidential candidates. Trump made a remark about Senator John McCain during the interview, saying McCain was a war hero, but he, Trump, liked people who weren't captured. The family leader is thrilled to partner with Blaze TV to bring this unique content to a national audience looking for a better vision for America's future. Blaze TV brings insightful and inspiring voices to Americans, and we're grateful that commitment will continue with the Family Leadership Summit. Family Leader President CEO Bob Vanderplatz told the Blaze. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former Vice President Mike Pence, Senator Tim Scott, author and interpreter Vivek Ramaswamy, former U.N. Ambassador and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, and former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchison have all confirmed their attendance at the 2023 Family Leadership Summit, Principle Over Politics. Former President Trump, though invited, will not be participating in the summit, Vanderplatz confirmed Tuesday morning in a tweet finalizing the lineup. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, President Joe Biden, and Democrat presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. were also invited, but will not be participating. Glenn Beck will be interviewing Tucker after the summit. That's something we all want to catch. Meanwhile, Mitchell has made a couple of points. One about Ray Epps being indicted, according to his lawyers, that cannot happen soon enough. And, of course, that the FDA has approved an over-the-counter anti-abortion pill that'll be available just like aspirin on the shelves. Personally, I believe in a woman's right to choose, even though I know many of you in this audience do not. But it seems to me that to deny a woman the right to determine whether or not to carry a fetus to term is akin to reproductive slavery, comparing forcing her to do something against her will that she would prefer not to do. The issues here are somewhat complex and subtle because they revolve over the issue of personhood, of when the developing fetus... Mitchell just corrected me. We're talking about monthly birth control pill, but there's also basically the abortion pill, too, has been approved. Basically, women, in my opinion, should have the right to make that determination and sending it back to the states to create a patchwork quilt across the nation was not a good idea. I continue to believe Roe v. Wade was among the wisest decisions ever rendered by the U.S. Supreme Court, though clearly that would appear to be a minority opinion in many circles. It's one of the issues in which I think that the liberals have it right and we conservatives have it wrong. In any case, I'm opening the call line now, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will take your call and get you on the air with me.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we have a couple of callers lined up, including from St. Louis. Please join the conversation, area code 816.
Is it me? I'm not St. Louis.
Oh,
I'm Kansas
Brian.
City.
Brian, go ahead. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Anyway, one thing that happened, I think it was yesterday, that I found interesting is when I get on Revolution Radio on my computer, you know, when I search, I don't have it bookmarked. I just punch in R and then Revolution Radio comes up. Well, yesterday my computer was upgrading and it said, don't turn it off or 30% complete. And when it was done, I punched in R for Revolution Radio and it didn't come up. And I thought, well, I'll go REV. I had to punch in the whole thing, Revolution Radio. And then when I hit it, I get Revolution Radio by Green Day. I get Revolution Radio of Miami. And I had to scroll down through all this Revolution Radio stuff to find you. So it kind of had me nervous. I thought, my God, is it completely gone? I'm going to have to call Mitchell to find out the exact website. But that just shows how they squeeze us out. You know, makes it harder for people to get on there. So anyway,
well, I think there are multiple reasons that happening. I mean, including the discussion we've having about the Ukraine war and why this is a catastrophe, and how it's really Israel using the U.S. and NATO to benefit itself, which is why it's so ferocious and unrelenting. There is no other force on earth than the Rothschild banking empire, which is supporting Israel and the conversion of Ukraine into the new Israel that could be bringing about this kind of consumption of vast resources by these Western nations and the United States. It is inexplicable on any other ground. Mitchell, by the way, says if you put in revolution.radio, try revolution.radio, Brian, and
okay.
See what happens.
Yeah, thank you. One other thing real quick. When you were in the hospital, I got on Benjamin Fulford, and he had a really interesting thing that I was going to try and bring up. Is he talked about the actors, the agency that employs Biden as an actor, and AOC. I was surprised she was in there, and they had a video on it, and it's called the Creative Artists Association. And they had a film shot from the roof of it, okay, looking down on the building, and there's a pyramid with the eye that was in the courtyard in the middle. It was like looking at the $1 bill, and I couldn't believe it. And then they had these little mini advertisements from the actors and actresses that were involved in it and how they, you know, made them all this money and whatnot. And it was interesting who the people were for that. So the other thing of interest that was new to me is then after that, I was on one of my websites, and it had a hidden symbols of the Vatican. And there was a guy in, St. Basilia's or whatever, with a cell phone. And I did not realize this before, but he had a shot of Mother Mary, and there was the Roman numeral one, which looks like an I, and then the X, which is like 10, and one X would be Roman numeral 9. And then there was Mother Mary between this one X, and then on the other side of it was X1, which is 11. In Roman. So it was 9/11. And then when you saw that, there was 9/11 all over inside inside this church. I couldn't believe it. I was not aware of that. I'd probably seen that before, but I didn't put two and two together. So I guess that 9/11 thing goes way back.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
You know, what dawned on me then is that whole Mother Mary thing, it's like the earliest example of feminism, okay? It's like they were pushing feminism on us way back when, getting us started on that, because we know feminism comes from the bad side. They're always pushing it on us. So anyway.
You know, I'm very intrigued by the suggestion that AOC is an actor. I mean, she's obviously highly theatrical, but Benjamin Fulford was suggesting she's somehow scripted. Tell us more about this.
Well, you would have to bring up the Benjamin Fulford article, and it was probably 2-3 weeks ago. It was when you were in the hospital, and it was an actual video. And, that someone had done, and he had included it on his website. And it just talked about the fact that Biden was employed by this creative artists agency, an AOC, which really shocked me. And then it had individual little advertisements from all the people that were involved in it. And the one I remember was the last guy's name, Levitt, that was in the movie League of Our Own, that played the agent for Gina Davis and all those girls. I think his last name's Levitt. He's saying things like, yeah, well, CAA has really helped me. And I had a whole bunch of these people, but there was nothing like that from AOC or Biden, obviously. But it didn't go into depth, but that was one of the actors from the actresses from this agency. So anyway.
Very interesting. By the way, I particularly enjoyed interviewing Mike King here. Did you catch that interview, and what was your take?
I love Mike King. He's always spot on. So anyway, yeah, he's good. His website really helped me. In fact, I ordered his book on the bad war, World War II, way back years ago. And one of my good friends has a son who's like, he was like 13, 14 years old. And he brought the book home, and his son got a hold of it. And his son read the whole book and became such a believer in the truth when it came to World War II. He would post things on the internet that he realized from Mike King's book, and he'd have all these trolls and all these people saying, oh, you're crazy, you must be a Nazi, and all this stuff, that he could defend his position because of Mike King's book. So yeah, his research is really good. There's a few things I wish he would point out on his website, like the fact that Hitler's private bodyguard and chauffeur was Jewish. You know, he's never brought that up. And he dated Geli Rabal, Hitler's niece. So if Hitler was this raving anti-Semite-hated Jews, why would he have a bodyguard that's Jewish that dated his niece? You know, you'd think then the bodyguard would go to work and have his family went up in the gas chambers the night before and say, I think I'll do something about this Adolf guy. So, you know, it just more stuff that doesn't make sense, and the fact that Warburg's owned Auschwitz. I wish he would do research on that, because the Warburg family owned Auschwitz. So why didn't you have the Jews saying to the Warburgs, you know, oh, there's this terrible stuff going on at Auschwitz. You need to tell them to calm it down. But that never happened.
Fascinating. Well, I was very impressed that Mike King published my piece about Sandy Hook, exploring how much evidence we have that it was a FEMA drill, including not only the FEMA manual, but the Connecticut FEMA schedule, showing they had it on their list of events to be conducted, where they even sent out a map of how to get from Bridgeport, Connecticut, where they're located, to the school in Newtown. And where it turns out that it wasn't even an elementary school, but actually was a special needs school, which explains why there wasn't the kind of U-shaped driveway so buses could drive in, unload, and load up and drive out without running into each other. They only needed one access route for parents to come in, drop off their kids, and take off. And now you didn't have any of the typical facilities expected of an elementary school. No playground. Can you imagine having an elementary school with no playground, Brian? And that's all in addition to it not being in compliance with American for Disability Act by having handicapped parking and a host of other issues. But I was very, very impressed with Mike King's integrity, because, frankly, most websites wouldn't have the balls to publish a piece about Sandy Hook, no matter how thoroughly it was documented or how specific it was in detail and explanation.
Well, I think of all of those false flags when it comes to school shootings, whether it's Columbine or all the others, you have that one so well documented that you'll probably find more and more people, when they discover that, they're also going to put it on their websites, because, I mean, it's a slam dunk. If you could go into a normal court of law and present all that evidence, it's just a slam dunk. They would, the defense attorney in a normal court of law would be trying to negotiate a reduced sentence once all that evidence would be brought into a court, because in a normal court, there'd be no way someone could, find it in favor of the government story. So,
Brian, you've got to read the piece in detail, because I explain how that was the attitude I had going into court when I was subjected to this ridiculous lawsuit. And the judge ruled that all the evidence I had, and I'd already submitted an outline, and believe me, it was copious, it was abundant, it was detailed, it included the FEMA manual, included the FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012, showing at the intersection of Newtown and murders or non-negligent manslaughters, the number is zero, when it should have been 26 or 27. I mean, you got that 20 kids allegedly died, six adults, and then Adam Lanza's mother, or Adam himself, because suicides are classified as homicides of a person upon themselves. And the court, the judge in this case, which is allowed in the state of Wisconsin, simply set all my evidence aside is not relevant to the question of the authenticity of a death certificate, even though it stated the decedent died from multiple gunshot wounds at Sandy Hook Elementary on 14 December 2012. I mean, talk about a dumbfounding ruling from the court. And yet the Court of Appeals of Wisconsin, when I worked my way up the food chain, stood pat with him, asserted his right to make that declaration. I mean, I thought courts were supposed to be neutral arbiters of evidence, but I found in this instance the situation was completely different, right up to and including the U.S. Supreme Court So I had all that evidence before the Supreme Court, Brian. I had the FEMA manual. I had the Connecticut agenda for the drill showing. I had the map showing how to get there. I even had Brian Davidson, this wonderful PI from Houston, results of his search into the Connecticut State Police photographic files, where he discovered photographs contradicting the official narrative, such as of a hallway where there's supposed to be two bodies and pools of blood. And guess what? No bodies, no pools of blood. Another in a classroom where a bunch of kids were supposed to have been massacred. Not only were there no bodies, no blood, there weren't even any student desks or chairs. There wasn't even a teacher desk or chair, meaning he not only found evidence that there was no mass murder at Sandy Hook, but that it wasn't even an operating school. And all that was in my appendices A through D, and then separate appendix E with Brian Davidson's material in my petition for a rehearing before the United States Supreme Court. And oddly, though, I think now it's obvious why they did this, although ordinarily, if you go onto the Supreme Court docket, you'll not only find that principal briefs are accessible to the public, but these supporting appendices as well. But in my case, they simply added to the end of my petition for rehearing, there are additional supporting documents in this case, but you must contact the clerk of the court to access them. So they did not make them available, no doubt, because they're so explosive. They're so explosive. They blow the whole case out of the water all by themselves.
Well, the thing that's amazing is how many of these people are in the legal system, the medical system, in education. They're everywhere. And it reminds me of a piece I saw on the internet the other day. This kid, he said there's two kinds of people other than us in this world. He called them, NPCs, non-player characters and extras like in a movie. And then he showed the movie Matrix, where there's all these people walking on the street. And he said, you know, most all these people that are around us aren't really real. They're just here to make it seem like it's real so they can manipulate us. And it resonated so much. He just had so many people, you know, commenting. One woman commented, said, God, I think my husband's one of those. And when you think about it, it's just inconceivable that you would have throughout all these professions, all these teachers and lawyers and whatever, and they all do the same thing. It's like there is no one left that will do the right thing. So anyway.
Yes, well, stand by. We have another caller here from the 925 area code. Caller, join the conversation. Give us your first name and state, please.
This is Michael J. from California. Hi, Jim. God bless you.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, brother. I'm one day closer to eternity, brother. Amen.
So aren't we all?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm wondering what your subject was. I was calling your producer, praise God. But the issue is, you know, I have a lot to say about what's going on in America. I'm very grateful that you're sending me these wonderful emails about the Biden plan to get us into a war with Russia. It seems like they're willing to do anything, you know, if it will help them avoid being prosecuted for their treason and corruption.
Michael, you know, I spent the whole first hour of the show addressing that issue, where I explained that there's only really one way you can understand what's going on here, which is because Israel wants Ukraine. They want all of Ukraine. They want the Donbass.
Yeah.
They want Crimea for the new Israel. And they're exerting all the force they can apply, including the fact that the Congress is Israeli-occupied territory, to bring about that outcome. But I got to tell you, Michael, I don't think they can succeed. Russia will not give up Ukraine, will not give up Crimea, will not give up the Donbass. And therefore, I believe if they continue with these efforts, it's the only way it can play out given that Russia is prevailing overwhelmingly, notwithstanding cluster bombs or the threat to send F-16, is going to be the introduction of nuclear weapons. And since Russia has already made it clear that they'll respond to any use of nukes with a massive onslaught against the West, I'm sorry to say that looks to me like our most probable outcome here and in the not too distant future. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, with Lithuania and Poland and now Finland looking at the possibility of having full-time military NATO installations right next to Russia or right next to Ukraine. This essentially is just, it's just upping the ante. These people are in brinksmanship. They don't seem to care about how many millions of people might die. It's obvious that Ukraine was the breadbasket for most of Europe and even Russia. And when we created the Soviet Union, we destroyed the Ukraine and murdered its people. That is the communists did, although we helped them come into power. So the reality is the Ukraine is a fantastic place to grow food and to maintain control. It's essentially in the heart of Europe. And it's got the Black Sea and all that. And I think you're right. I think they want Crimea back and they want eastern Ukraine back. And these people are willing, because they're bought and paid for, they're willing to push us all the way into warfare. But I'm encouraging people to ask God to deliver us from evil, like it says in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I encourage people to do that because these people, it's evident that we can't stop them, but God can. So I appreciate having an opportunity to share with you. Jim, thank you.
Oh, I'm always glad to hear from you, Michael J. Pleased you called in.
I'm grateful you're feeling better, too. I'm grateful that you're feeling better. I heard you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's been 3 weeks now, Michael, and I'm feeling quite good. Those who have gone through this said you feel a lot better after 2 weeks. And after 4 weeks, you're really feeling on top of your game. And I seem to be proceeding in accordance with that schedule. I met with my surgeon just last Friday, and he was ecstatic with the outcome. It was a double rather than a triple bypass. But he was just totally happy with every aspect. And I've had physical therapists, occupational therapists, and nurses doing follow-up visits to my home. And every single one has been very, very happy with my progress. In fact, one has already signed off. No need to come back. The nurse cut down her visits from 2 a week to 1 a week because I did not need more. And, you know, the other is going to make 1 or 2 more visits. I do have cardiac rehabilitation scheduled to begin on the 20th. And I just am feeling really quite good about the whole thing. But I got to tell you, there was a period there. It must have been about, I don't know, 10 days, 12 days after when I really was in a bad way and not at all sure I'd made the right decision. So I'm just glad to say now things are actually very positive. They're putting me through all these exercises and they're all very effortless. Going up and down stairs, you have to control your breathing. It's a little more of an exertion than in the past, but I think the fact that I had been going up and down stairs 20 times a day in the past may have contributed to my state of health to help me get through all of this. But I appreciate those kind words, Michael. I'm very, very happy with the way this is all playing out.
Well, Scott and I prayed for you. And it comes to mind that you can take the man out of the Marines, but you can't take the Marine out of the man.
Yeah, well, I appreciate
God bless
that.
You.
Thank you, Michael.
Take care, Jim.
Very much,
now.
Michael J. Thank you so much. Brian.
Bye-bye.
Any further thoughts you'd like to add as we come to the conclusion of our conversation today?
Well, I've got a joke for you that would fit having heart surgery.
Go ahead.
Are you ready? This guy goes to the doctor, and he gets his checkup, and the doctor said, "Well, I've got good news and bad news." He said, "I guess the good news is you need heart surgery. You're really bad. You could drop any second. And the other news is you've got Alzheimer's." And the guy listens for a little bit, and he says, "Thank God I don't have Alzheimer's."
Thank God I don't have Alzheimer's.
Well, yeah, well, he had Alzheimer's. He didn't realize he had it already. He forgot already.
he forgot already. Well, listen, let me just mention for the coming week that I have Joel Olson on schedule for Wednesday to talk about perhaps my least favorite subject, flat Earth. So we're going to be addressing that on Wednesday for those who want to brace themselves, or be sure to check in. Meanwhile, see what Tucker's done here at this Values Summit. I think it's all going to be very, very worthwhile. And I encourage you, again, to spend as much time as you can with your family, friends, and people you love and care about, because we literally, and it's now more urgent than before, have no idea how much time we have left. So I just encourage one and all. Brian, I thank you for calling in. Michael J., for calling in. Mitchell, you've been doing such a super job in my absence. I'm very grateful to you all. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the other side.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take.
But as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their...